There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Very good afternoon and a warm afternoon to Nick Rago, who once again has triumphed in the treat stakes. That is a fantastic thing. Would you
Thank
just
you.
Explain what's in it? It's the most delicious morsel ever.
Well, it's a combination of me trying to use things in my cupboard that I don't want obviously have running stale. So I basically have plenty of leftover chocolate from Easter. I had a little bit of espresso powder as well, a whole packet of Maltesers. So you mix them all together, you get a beautiful, moist espresso Malteser brownie.
Genuinely genius, and the t-shirt to match, which says Food Geek.
I know, I can't help it. I picked this out by fluke, I promise you.
Sure. Joe, it's very good to see you. Lots to talk about today. The Rubbish Kickstarter is an interesting one. Questions in for Nick. I should say, to start with, Arjun, we'll chat to you in a minute, but the phone at the level of the Samsung and iPhone, and we'll come to this, but without the hype. And I wonder if there's any way of finding a smartphone that doesn't hype itself, or a company that doesn't do that. So, interesting point to make. But if you have a question for Nick, 4001 via the free app or 423 1010 to call directly. He is here until 5 o'clock today. As ever, and it's customary to start with something along these lines.
Rubbish Kickstarters.
Right. So, here's the first thing today. First order of business, Rubbish Kickstarter. On the face of it, looks really good. It's on Indiegogo rather than Kickstarter, but a similar platform. The Titan smartphone. Why is this no good?
Well, basically, a concept of an Android smartphone is still pretty, you know, pretty decent. It's good that you can get something that's affordable, yada, yada, yada. So, at its sort of face value, it looks like a good idea. But where it sort of delves into madness is the features they're describing. So they're basically saying that they have this Android smartphone that is, you know, cannot be hacked. It's completely secure. You have no issues with it at all. It's the best smartphone you'll ever use, things like that. Yeah. And that in itself is a really lofty claim. And so if you kind of look past all of the marketing fluff that they're trying to throw at you, the actual features it has are just bonkers, all right? One of the things it's got is called Titanium, all right, which is the name of the operating system. It's literally going to be a skin on top of Android, so you can't call that an operating system because it's not. It's just your reskinning Android. You've got Titan Gate, which is an intelligent, continuously self-improving system based on neural network technology that protects your smartphone. So what this does, all right, bear with me, it's the smartphone is basically going to constantly monitor what you're doing on it, and if it sort of builds a pattern of how you're using your smartphone. And if something doesn't match that pattern, it locks down the smartphone. And you can then only unlock it by putting in a unique code that you get with the smartphone. And if you forget that code, then you're basically, there goes your smartphone. You're locked out of it. And you know, it's got a couple other things like Titan Cloud for all of your storage needs, some sort of wonderful bass-heavy headphones it's supplying with the phone as well. So really, the software features on it are just ridiculous.
Right, so let's find out who it's for.
We have been working on our product more than 2 years, and it is created for everyone. It is not just a smartphone. This is a universal toolkit for users who want to get the best experience from their smartphones.
Now, if you like your music from the late 80s into the early 90s, and you like your acid jazz, Jamiroquai, Brand New Heavies, that's really appealing.
Until he starts talking.
Yeah. So they bill it as a universal toolkit for any task, the quintessence of power and elegance.
I like that word.
Good, that, isn't it? It's a nice
good.
Mix. What do you think, NLT? You sold with this?
Mm-hmm.
You're too busy with the brownie, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. So, why is this good and what does it do is the next, I guess, obvious question.
Today, we want to show you something amazing. A smartphone that will satisfy absolutely all your needs. Presenting Titan. This smartphone runs our own operating system, Titanium, based on Android 8.0. Our system provides an unprecedented level of protection in conjunction with our Titan Gate security system. Titanium is equipped with the most modern technical stuff to date. The powerful Snapdragon 845 chip provides a high level of performance comparable to desktop PCs. By the way, about the PC, our own application Titan Direct will turn your Titan into a real computer that can cope with any given tasks.
they've thought this through. You know, there's some joined up thinking here. Do you remember? Let me put this into context. When Carlos Ghosn took over Nissan, do you remember that?
No.
He did. Anyway, he came to Nissan and there was this consistency that they introduced throughout their line of cars. And you could see the DNA of all the different cars. And there were little design aspects. And you thought, oh, that's noticeably X, or it reminds me of that. So that's what happened. And that's kind of clever marketing. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that here with the Titan. So it's titanium, Titan gate, Titan lock, all of this stuff. So they've obviously thought Titans...
Titan's the way to go. Go home or, you know, go home.
It's the starting point. NLT?
It looks on the surface, it looks really, really nice.
Yes.
It does. It looks good. But it just sounds like nonsense to me. And it might be because a lot of the words I don't understand. But it seems like it's based on Android. So they're not creating anything. They're just going, I'm going to take a bit of this and mm-hmm. a bit of that and a bit of the other and mix it together. And his advert's really weird. It's mainly him talking and quotes from Elon Musk. It's very bizarre.
I'm probably gonna get a lot of hate on text messages for this, but this guy is actually based in Russia.
Okay.
So I don't particularly want to be buying a smartphone made in Russia, just putting it out there.
Oh, okay. Well, for obvious reasons, I suppose, at the moment. Well, we're going to discuss that a little bit later, because it is dry block tech.
The second funny thing is his actual logo, the Titan logo, the T, looks eerily familiar from the Tesla logo. So I'm thinking, oh, he really is quoting Elon Musk, but he's also sort of lifting the logo.
Well, that's all right. Look, let me try to convince you one more time, because on the face of it...
Oh, please don't.
It sounds good. Here's the kicker. And this is where it all ties together, I think. It's Bitcoin friendly. Plus, if you're an Instagrammer...
We also paid attention to those who own digital assets. The built-in Knox hardware crypto wallet will allow you to work with many currencies such as Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Zcash, and tokens of the ERC-20 standard. For photo enthusiasts, we also have a solution. Two 16-megapixel cameras with a wide-angle and tele lens. Quality photos for one click, that's what awaits you when buying T10.
What about that? 16 megapixel, two of them, cameras. That's top of the line, not quite top of the line, but that's pretty decent SLR image quality.
Well, this is the thing, like the specs on it as just a sort of very simple Android phone are decent. But it's all the things that they're tacking on top of it that just make it sound like an obnoxious piece of trash, honestly. And they are looking for $50,000 to make this happen. There's no way you can do anything even remotely close to smartphone manufacturing for $50,000. They have raised, with a month of funding left, they've raised only $768 so far. Okay. So clearly people aren't getting on board with the whole Titan thing.
So Samsung or Apple not quaking in their boots?
Yeah, not quite.
All right.
No.
NLT, is it a no?
It's definitely a no from me.
Okay. Well, that's today's rubbish Kickstarter, which I think we've conclusively proved is perhaps not going to work.
Yeah, pretty much.
Worst.
All right, Drive Live Talks Tech. Nick Rago joins us here in the studio. Nick's from Tech Radar.
Drive Live Talks Technology.
And NLT is here, and also Arjun is on the line, driving at the moment, but your hand's free, Arjun, so safe as houses. What was it you wanted to ask Nick?
Yeah, I just want to know, I like the features on the Samsung phone and the Apple one,
right.
But I'm not really interested in paying the premium for the brand. So is there any phone which is equivalent in terms of the specs?
Yeah, sure. You can look at models from OnePlus, either the OnePlus 3 or even the new OnePlus 5T. I think the 5T is a little bit more expensive, about 1,900 dirhams. But the older OnePlus 3 can retail about anywhere between 1,400 to 1,600 dirhams or less, depending on where you get it from. Both of these phone models have really good specs that you can compare with most modern smartphones. If you want, also look at the lineup from Huawei. You can look at the Honor 8, even the Honor 6. There are a number of phones there from Huawei that will match your budget and are just as good as looking at something from Samsung or something as Apple as well.
How's that, Arjun?
And they would have similar features in terms of the social media apps and all that.
Yeah, everything. The apps are all the same from phone to phone. You just go and download them straight from the App Store and you're ready to go.
Love you.
Arjun,
thank you so much, and I'm really enjoying the segment.
Oh, it's good to have you on. Just one thing, what do you want your phone to do more than anything?
You know, most of it is camera and, you know, being sturdy. You know, I personally use an Apple, but, you know, not something, I'm not really very impressed in terms of the price to value kind of a ratio.
Right.
So I was looking at something different, which would be similar features, but I don't have to pay so much money.
Yeah, definitely. If camera is one of the things you want to look out for, look at the OnePlus brand if you can get your hands on it on one of the retail stores or on Souq.com. We've had some really good camera tests with it, and it's a pretty good phone to get.
So that's OnePlus 5T.
You can get OnePlus 3 or 3T or 5T.
5T. Lovely.
Perfect. All right, good to talk to you. Good luck with that. I mean, it's an interesting point, isn't it? Because you do have to pay a premium, and it's a hefty premium for, look at the iPhone 10, for example.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what happens when you go for a smartphone from one of the leading brands, is that you're paying for that brand value, that brand name. And I think a lot of people sort of fail to realize that you can get very decent, especially in the Android market, you can get very decent Android phones from manufacturers that people may not necessarily have been aware of are very, very good value for money phones.
Okay, questions for Nick today. Nick's from Tech Radar. He knows his stuff. You can text 4001 or via the free app. Here's another one for you, Nick. I've just upgraded from an S8 Plus to an S9 Plus. I have a feeling my new phone is slower overall. It starts up a lot slower. It doesn't connect to 4G as often as my S8 Plus did. It's often on 3G. So should I take it back?
With regards to the slowness, with these new smartphones, they tend to be a little bit slower in your sort of first couple of weeks of using it. And you'll also notice the battery takes longer to charge because the phone is sort of learning how you're using it and learning your usage patterns and what apps you have. So I would say give it a few more weeks before you decide to give it into the store. With regards to the 4G, 3G thing, if this is happening in areas where previously you had proper coverage, just make sure you're not using any sort of third-party covers that have. I've noticed this with some phones is that they have a magnetic bit on the back where you can then add that to your car. You can just kind of snap it onto those magnetic holders. Mm-hmm. These tend to interfere with your internal antenna sometimes. Just make sure that you aren't using sort of a third-party case that has that. But also within the settings, within Android, there is an option there for network selection. Make sure that is set to automatic because that will then choose the best available network and will ensure that you're always on 4G and not on 3G.
Okay, no name on that text. One more thing, just before we go to Facebook, that was the first kind of topic we wanted to get into. Salman says, won't buy a tech item from Russia, but will happily use Facebook and trust other US tech firms. Give me a break, Nick Rago. He's taking you on.
Done and dusted, Salman.
All right, then. The gauntlet is firmly down. 4001 via the free app questions for Nick. Facebook, NLT.
Yeah, obviously, we know that Mark Zuckerberg has come under a lot of pressure since the Cambridge Analytica story broke, but he finally sort of sat down at the headmaster's office in America, essentially, is what happened, isn't it, Nick? And it was interesting to see him outside of his uniform.
It was also very funny.
In a suit.
Yeah, it was also very funny because a lot of the things that he was, the way he was behaving and acting, he was sitting on a booster seat for one thing, which was, you know, in itself, pure comedy on Twitter. People are having a field day with that.
I know. I find it bizarre that he was sat. So if you can picture, he sat in sort of that, when you sit in these chairs, a kind of old fashioned curved wooden seats, and he sat on a booster seat, maybe 4 inches. And you just think, I can't believe somebody advised him that that might have been a good idea. He's 5'7", so maybe he's thinking, I'll look a little taller, maybe I can see over the desk properly. But it can't have been a good move.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the whole booster seat scenario and just the hilarious tweets that are going around, it was a very somber thing to witness because you had all of these Congress people sort of grilling Mark Zuckerberg intently, but not really getting to the bottom of things. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg basically was trying to answer questions as politely as possible, but also sort of dodging them at the same time, talking about how Facebook is meant, you know, sort of is a company that's still learning and how he founded it. And, you know, it's become sort of leaps and bounds and not really answering the questions, probably because he wanted to essentially stall until, you know, they would run out of time and they would move on to the next congressperson. So it was a very painful thing to watch because at the end of the day, there's still no sort of straight answers from Mark Zuckerberg. It was almost like an orchestrated PR attempt to answering these questions. And I think that's a really bad move for him because people really want to know, what is Facebook going to be doing about this? What is the company going to be doing to ensure that in the future things like this don't happen? And is Mark Zuckerberg taking full accountability for this data leak?
I'm still none the wiser as to how safe my data is. I understand the settings on Facebook, and I've looked at it, and my Facebook deactivated, to be honest with you, which is not really much to do with this. I just don't use it. But 2 billion people on Earth, more than that, do. So this is actually incredibly important,
yeah,
that people who understand what Facebook is trying to be ask the right questions. And I got a sense yesterday that very few people were asking the right questions. Maybe I'll call me crazy.
Yeah, it's a bit of everything, because people don't quite understand how Facebook as a company is, you know, holding on to this data, how it's treating and how it is keeping it safe. And that's kind of what people want to know, especially these lawmakers. They want to know, you know, in this day and age where everything is so quickly shared online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, all the other social media platforms, is can something of a beast like Facebook be held accountable for things like presidential elections, which is sort of at the core of this investigation, is, you know, how was Facebook allowed to have this, you know, in addition to this data leak, how were they allowed to have these sort of adverts and things that were targeted to voters with the 2016 presidential election in the US? And it's a very sticky investigation. It's not something we're going to see the answer to anytime soon. It's a long and painful process that people are going to be digging away at with Facebook and trying to get to the bottom of things. It's going to be a very long wait for us.
I know. Well, Salmon's texting, and Salmon's made the point that I was just about to say to you, actually, Nick. He says, guys, just wondering how much these old congressmen understand technology and whether they were the right people to grill him. Well, first of all, Salmon, I think they looked at the congressmen in the room, and they were average age of 60. Mm-hmm. And some of the things they were saying, there was one of the guys who sort of said, you know, if I post on Facebook that I like chocolate and then the next day I see adverts for chocolate, what's that about? So there is a disconnect between, yeah, understanding how something like Facebook, which is a free platform to us as users, is monetized. And there was clearly a lack of understanding before they went in and asked the questions. Forget about all the other details and the data breach. On a very simple level, a lot of these people and a lot of people that use Facebook don't quite understand the concept.
Yeah, this is the thing. I agree with Salman, is that the people asking those questions don't need to have an absolutely in-depth technical knowledge of Facebook in order to ask these questions, but some sort of basic understanding of how Facebook as a business operates, how it regulates its user data, how users can choose to opt out of these adverts, things like that. You need to make sure that the people asking Mark Zuckerberg have this kind of information at hand. If they don't, that they're properly briefed beforehand so they can go in and make these informed decisions and ask the proper questions. Because as a public, we're never going to get a chance to ask Mark Zuckerberg these questions. And these are the important questions that he needs to be answering.
Everybody uses Facebook, Nick. Pretty much, we all know people that use it regularly. I know a number of people who seem to spend an inordinate, mm-hmm, amount of time on Facebook. But just anecdotally, how many of your friends are really bothered by this? Because the impact on the future of Facebook is intangible at,
yeah,
the moment. We just don't know. We love it, we use it, that's fine. But of your friends that use it regularly, what do they think?
I mean, I'm definitely seeing a couple of people on my Facebook feed sharing the hashtag delete Facebook campaign and telling people to sign this, you know, petition to get Facebook to do this and that and the other. So there are people that are still very much vocal about it, ironically sharing it on the same platform that they're trying to, you know, to boycott, sure, which is very weird. But I think a lot of people at the end of the day, if they're able to go into the settings and they see that, you know, their data at this for this particular incident wasn't compromised, they're happy with using Facebook still. I think if you are still using Facebook, you still want to go in and look at, you know, which apps have your data and your permissions, look at you know, which advertisers have your profile, you can download your Facebook data as well, which pages you've liked, just basically do a quick cull of all the data you have on Facebook just to make sure that what you're posting is exactly, you know, going to the right people, it's being shared with the people that you want to share with, and anything else that you don't want to be made public is kept hidden and kept safe.
Mm, make sure and understand is the key. You did that earlier, NLT.
Yes, I checked mine. I had a look, and yes, it said no one has taken part in the survey that we're looking into, either you or anyone on your friends list, which was part, yeah, of the problem. It didn't. You might be being safe, but if someone on your friends list had,
yeah,
had completed this, you were at risk too. So I checked out mine, and I was fine. So I'd recommend, if you are concerned, just to do that, like Nick said, just to have a check.
Drive Live Talks Tech. Be interesting to know, if we did a quick straw poll, is this of concern to you? If you use Facebook and you use Facebook regularly, what has this furore over whether it's a booster seat or the questions that were asked in Congress yesterday or Mark Zuckerberg's responses to those questions, what has it affected the way you use Facebook, the way you interact online? I'd be interested to see. Drop us a text on that, 4001. Nick Rago is here from Tech Radar.
Drive Live talks technology.
That's what we're doing. Let's move on to Instagram, Nick, which has been ranked the world's worst social media network for teen mental health.
Oh, I know. Oh, well, it's sort of true, because I think when you go on Instagram and you think, oh, I'm going to look at photos of, you know, people on their vacation and food and stuff and feel better about myself, chances are you don't. Yep. And that's kind of what's happened. Basically, there was a survey, hashtag status of mind, to find out about how the photo sharing app was impacting people's general well-being, their sleep patterns and body image. And basically, youngsters aged 14 to 24 found that it just, you know, wasn't the platform for them. It was basically when they would go onto that, they would end up feeling worse about themselves when they finished viewing things on the app, which I think is sort of true, because when you go onto Instagram and you look at other people from around the world living, you know, a lot, what in your eyes would be a much more fulfilled life, you know, going on vacations and these exotic places and having, you know, chauffeur service and fantastic meals and restaurants, you feel kind of pitiful about your life and you almost want to try and be like that person. So I think that's kind of one of the highlights of the survey, is that they've said that it's probably not the best for teenagers to use it because they feel worse about their own lives.
You can see that the focus is very, you know, on Instagram. How many likes can you get? How many hearts? And, you know, that sometimes to some people translates to having the newest clothes or the most expensive or the best designers or, you know, the poses. Some girls I see and think, wow, when I was 14, I did not look like that. And maybe I wish in some way someone would have told me how dreadful I looked. But that was part of, you know, coming of age and sort of experimenting with dreadful makeup. But I see girls on social media, my cousins as an example, who, you know, they're better at applying makeup than most women. And they look more dressed up going for a family meal than I would have done going to a club.
You know, you're right, but I don't care what anybody says. In 20 years, you're going to look, and they will be fashion mistakes that you have to own. They just are. That's how it works. I've had to own the pictures that I posted happily on Facebook of me with my mullet. So, you know, it happens to all of us, unfortunately. But you're right, and it because it's so omnipresent, it's there and it's directly in front of you. It's on a screen. It's not your mother with a photo album showing your friends. It's there all the time. Yeah. That's a pressure.
I think also with Instagram it sort of fuels that unrealistic lifestyle. And I was reading an article a few weeks ago where this woman had basically pretty much sort of gone to debt because she was buying clothes and buying, you know, handbags and things and going for expensive meals just so she could, you know, post them on Instagram. Mm. And she had basically maxed out her credit cards and taken out a loan to pay for things. And she's now in a severe amount of debt just because she wanted to look good on Instagram. I mean, what kind of a life is that to lead, honestly?
We do need some help, don't we? Here's a question for you from Shazu. I bought a laser printer, MF series for home use, ran out of toner. The price of all color toners is more than the printer price. What options do I have? It's often the case, though, isn't it? You get a printer.
It is.
150 dirhams. Yeah. Brilliant. And the toner's 200.
Shaz, unfortunately, because you've got a laser printer, the toners for laser printers are going to be a lot more expensive than regular inkjet ones. So unfortunately, you're just going to have to shop around and look for a place that will sell you toner at a competitive price.
Unfortunately, that's how it is. What else can we talk about today? Smart number plates. This was an announcement. We've been talking about this. What do you think?
It's interesting. I mean, it's a concept where you can essentially have like a digital number plate in your car here in Dubai. And as and when you want to, like, say you want to change your number plate or book another number, whatever, you can do that via an upcoming app to the RTA. And then the smart number plate will automatically reflect that, which is pretty cool. But further to that tech, essentially the RTA is looking at how these smart number plates can communicate with security services like the police and the ambulance to report an accident automatically, how they can connect with other smart number plates in the vicinity to report things like traffic. We were discussing off air, it would be a good way to maybe sort of detect the distance you're keeping between cars and speed
great.
Limits.
Would it
like
not
that.
Be great to combat
it would
tailgaters.
Be very, very cool. Yeah, it would be very cool. Great. So it's something that the RTA is currently piloting, and if it's something that is feasible and they like the results from it, then it's something going to be rolling out in the next couple of years. So it's something to look forward to here in the Emirates.
That's pretty much it on Drive Live Talks Tech today. Just let me ask you, you didn't bring a gadget in today. What gadgets are you testing at the moment, if anything?
Well, I'm testing a new pair of Bose headphones and a very cool BenQ wireless presentation kit. So we'll have to stay tuned for another show to hear my thoughts on that.
The presentation kit?
Yes.
I love the identification of the pre.
You're so cheeky.
I know. Nick Rago is from Tech Radar. Always good to see you, Nick.
Always good, guys. Thanks.
All right, then. So that's tech for this week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.